After telling us about many heroes of faith in chapter 11, the author of Hebrews wrote, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, and lift our drooping hands and strengthen our weak knees." I have been blessed that in grade school I was taught about those ancient heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. I have also been blessed by being surrounded all my life by a great cloud of living witnesses, family, friends, teachers, professors, pastors, colleagues, congregations. Thanks to all of them, I have never experienced any deep spiritual crisis. That doesn't mean that my faith has never wavered or that I've never had serious questions or doubts or that I've never cried out, "Why, O Lord?" Of course, I've had my ups and downs, but nothing that would qualify as a dark night of the soul. There have always been saints near me to lift my drooping hands, to strengthen my weak knees, and help me run with endurance. In addition to the biblical and living saints, the cloud of witnesses includes a multitude who have lived between the ancients and the living: Augustine, Aquinas, Calvin, Chesterton, and I should mention Teresa of Avila and Teresa of Calcutta, and who knows how many more Teresas. Anyway, it's a great and rich heritage. But I'm afraid we modern Christians, like our culture in general, often treat the past as something to overcome, or as Wendell Berry puts it, merely something to depart from, not to commune with. We don't sufficiently tap the rich spiritual resources which our older brothers and sisters in the faith have to offer. So I was pleased when the worship committee asked me to give a testimony about how J.S. Bach has nourished my faith. The theologian David Bentley Hart says that Bach's music is, and I quote, "the most inspired witness to the order of love in the fabric of being." Put a little more simply and wittily, and not as profoundly, William Buckley said that when Bach was born, it was as though God decided to clear his throat to remind the world of his existence. That is one reason why I don't doubt God's existence. Bach's music keeps reminding me, and indeed convincing me, of God's existence. In that way, it is something like autumn leaves and sunsets and the night sky. Bach's music, in a sense, is an aspect of general revelation. But of course, that can only bring me to theism. So what about special revelation? What about the gospel? A quick survey of Bach's entire output will reveal that the vast majority of works have texts that proclaim the gospel. It's not without reason that he has often been dubbed Bach the preacher and even Bach the fifth evangelist. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Johann. I think he would have thought that was blasphemy. But of course, that begs the question, what does that have to do with Bach's music? Why not just read the texts? Here I only have time for a short answer. I recommend reading Jeremy Begbie for a long answer. But anyway, a short answer here, which I'll give by way of analogy that I got from Eugene Peterson, which he gives in talking about reading the book of Revelation. He writes that, quote, "everything in the Revelation can be found in the previous 65 books of the Bible." So he asks, why read it? He answers, "I read the Revelation not to get more information, but to revive my imagination. A few paragraphs into the revelation, he says, the adrenaline starts rushing through the arteries of my faith. Reading Revelation can wake us to the intricacies of grace, the profundities of peace, and God's love under and around and over us. End of quote. That is, in a nutshell, why I listen to Bach. A few measures into his music, the adrenaline starts rushing through the arteries of my faith. Friedrich Buechner summarized the gospel in two phrases. We are bleeding, but we've also been bled for. Bach knew this. One of his cantatas begins, Mein Herz schwimmt in Blut. My heart swims in blood. We are bleeding. But it ends with a jig. Wie freudig ist mein Hart, Herz. How joyful is my heart. We've been bled for. Whenever I listen to this, my hope is revived. My faith is strengthened. I'm confident that mourning can and will turn to dancing. Bach knew that humans cannot raise themselves. He knew Jesus had to die to deliver us from the bonds of sin and death. The chorale on which another of his cantatas is based says it just right. Christ lay in the bonds of death for our offenses given. He is again arisen and brings us life from heaven. Therefore, let us joyful be and sing to God right thankfully. With such a reason to sing, Bach could not just sing. Rather, he would say with another great saint, George Herbert, the 17th century poet, with my utmost art I will sing thee, and the cream of all my heart I will bring thee. God blessed Bach with extraordinary talent, and he worked hard to develop it to the utmost, not for fame and fortune, but because even his utmost art, however great, could not sufficiently give thanks for such great deliverance. In a minute we'll sing, What language shall I borrow to thank you, dearest friend? Even Bach's music is not eloquent enough to express our thanks adequately. But it has been an uncommonly good aid for awakening me to the intricacies of grace and for giving thanks to God for his love, which is under, around, and over us.